Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Marion County has a rich coal mining history, and many of the people who live here today are descended from those hard-working mining families. In the second part of a three-part series, let's learn about this rich part of our history from one of those descendants. Let's go in depth with Doug Wilson, coal mining historian, Knoxville. Doug and I sat at his kitchen table, looking at a near table-sized map he has made of the locations of mines in Marion County. I think unless you've seen some maps of what the mines look like, it's hard to imagine exactly what happened. I sort of had an image of a long tunnel that went into the earth, but it was much more complicated than that, wasn't it?
It was. You know, I've been underground in a couple of mines. I was in our family mine out east of town here about 4 miles when I was about 5 years old. I remember that. I remember going in there with my other cousin about my same age and his dad. And we walked, this was a slope mine that sloped into the ground. And of course the tracks that the small little cars ran on, the little coal cars, ran down into the mine. And we went in there on a Sunday to light the dynamite charges. And as a 5-year-old kid, I never forget my uncle taking his pit lamp off of his cap and lighting those fuses and telling us we needed to hurry out. And I remember him holding each of us by our hands on each side of him, and we walking out of there pretty hurriedly. And I remember when we come to daylight and came out the portal and walked kind of down the hill and onto the road, I remember what a great explosion that was and all the dust and everything that came out of that mine, out of that hole that went in the ground. And then I was also in a mine out in Utah, where two of my mom's brothers, my uncles, went in the late 40s to dig coal, and they stayed out there. And I was lucky to get to go in one of those mines. Back there in Utah, we were about 2.5-3 miles under a mountain. They had about 10 foot of coal there. Most of Iowa, there is some thick coal, but most of Iowa, a good bit of the coal runs around 4 foot thick.
And the maps that you're showing me, it looks like they started into the earth, into the coal bed, would tunnel and then take a turn, come back, take a turn, go back, take a turn, and keep going back and forth as they wove their way through the bed and then start a whole new row coming back.
Well, actually, what they generally did, that is the big mines, they would run their main entry, which I call, to make it easy to understand, it was just like a hallway, their main hallway. They would run it out there maybe a quarter of a mile, and they'd come in and do that before they actually opened the mine. And off of that, then they would run other hallways about every, probably about every 300 to 600 feet, run the other way, run off of those, that main hallway, and off of that they would run these rooms that the miners worked in. And the rooms that the miners worked in there was no set width, but generally around 24 foot wide. And there was a railroad track that went right in, so they can bring them cars right in those rooms to load the coal out. But it was like a small town underground. It really was. There was just so much going on in there all the time. You know, you had all the coal miners coming to work in the morning. If you had a big mine, you might have 250 people coming in to go to work there, and taking them down on what I call the elevator, and they would get dispersed into their rooms, and they had shot down the coal the night before, and today, when they go to work, the air is clean, and they're loading that coal in those cars, and they get it loaded before noon, and they drill the coal again, and while they was out having lunch or in another part of the mine having lunch, somebody'd come by, and they called maybe they'd call him a shot firer, and he'd come by and light the fuse, and he'd shoot down that coal at noon, And these guys go back in there and load that coal out after lunch, maybe get done like 3:30, and drill some more holes in that coal and put some more black powder and fuses in there, and they'd leave the mine in the late afternoon, and the shot fires would come down and shoot that again so they could load more coal when they come here in the morning. It's just an ongoing process. You had those miners working, you had the shot fires working, you had people laying track, people bringing in these wood posts that they called props that the miners used to hold the roof up from falling in on them, and you had the mules in there pulling the coal cars and bringing the empties back to the miners. It was just a process that just kept going and going, and everybody was moving. It was just an ongoing process. And you know, Bob, I was fortunate enough to get to interview a lot of old coal miners before they died. There just aren't many left around anymore, that, especially ones that mine the old-fashioned way. And when I would finish the interview, usually I'd do a video interview, you know, and when I'd just get just about done, I'd always ask them. I'd always say, well, you know, if there was a good coal mine down the road here about a mile, and I had a guy that you knew to be a good owner, would you consider, and you were a young man again, would you consider going back in that mine again? And he said, I'd be there Monday morning. And I've had at least a half a dozen or more guys tell me that same thing. I'd be there Monday morning. And you know what I think, Bob, is that there was a certain amount of independence that a miner had in the mine. You know, he called his own shot, so to speak. He dug his coal, he loaded it. If he wanted to sit down and have a cigarette or smoke his pipe or have a cookie out of his lunch pail, he could do it whenever he wanted to. And they liked that.
More in depth after this. Doug Wilson and I continued our conversation about coal mining in Marion County. Based upon the extent of the mines in Marion County as you've described them to me, it looks like coal was one of the major, if not the major, economic engine for the county.
Coal, during the years that coal was being dug, processed, and sold in Iowa, it was big business. And I know that there was one year in Iowa, in all of Iowa, when the gross national product of coal was larger than the agriculture. One year, I don't know which year it was, I think 1917, big year.
So coal outproduced agriculture in terms of our exports, in terms of just value.
Value, and that was my understanding, was value. I don't know that to be the truth, but that was my understanding. I read that somewhere one time.
And so when coal went away, it was probably a big economic jolt to the state.
Well, of course it was. And these miners, I don't know what it was about miners, and I don't really know how to say this, but I know that they spent just about every dime they earned. And so it was good. It was good for the company stores in the coal camps, and it was good for the towns around. Because when they went to town, they spent money, and many of them had a good time. The interesting part about this mine down at Bussey, if you don't mind me talking about that just a minute, this guy, and I'll recall his name pretty soon, I can't say it right off, that started the OK Coal Company down there at Bussey, and he was one of the two first mines in Iowa to sell coal to the railroad. This guy went on to put together a corporation and opened over on what's called here in Marion County, and most everybody knows where the Bussey Stub is. And just in south of the Bussey Stub there on the east side of the road was where the Everest Coal Camp was. And instead of OK Coal Company, I think the mines at Everest began as OK Coal Company, and then they changed it to Mammoth Vein Coal Company. And they had a total of I think this guy had a total of 9 mines in this Bussey area before it was all over with. And this big number five mine that was right just to the east of the Bussy Stub was a heck of a mine, one of the biggest producers in Marion County. And then these same people that was associated with the Mammoth Vein Coal Company are the same people that went up to Pershing and opened Pershing. They were some of the very same people.
Well, tell me more about Bussy. It's just a cluster of mines, dozens, I don't know, maybe 100 mines around Bussy.
Yeah, you know, Liberty Township was really one of the biggest producers in Marion County. I will have to say this, that there were only probably about, I would say maybe 15 major mines in this Liberty Township area.
Well, then we get to Marysville, and even more there.
I'm talking about this whole Liberty Township area, and that includes Marysville, Hamilton, and Bussy. But there was really only about 15 major mines in the area. And most all the rest of them were just smaller mines, but still producers.
Well, and as you drive to Bussy today, you can still see the evidence of some of the mines coming out of the banks of the hills.
Yeah, you can, especially if you know what you're looking for. And a lot of people today that aren't familiar with the type of coal mining I'm talking about and interested in, and that's underground, old-time underground coal mining. We'll look at a strip mine or what's called surface mining and associate that with the type of coal mining that I'm talking about, and I don't keep track of the strip mines, although I do have that information. I just don't put that on my maps. All I put on my maps is old time underground mines.
Well, and a lot of us are familiar with the strip mines only because of the reclamation projects around the county. Is that right?
I would say so. And they're visible in areas. They're still visible today when you still see those hills that don't have anything growing on them. Yes.
Well, and you mentioned Pershing. What was mining like there?
The same people that owned the Mammoth Vein Coal Company, or later on called Empire Mining, and had the Everest Coal Camp. They're the same corporation that went up to Pershing and opened this up. The unique thing about Pershing is they offered the miners something unique that had never been offered before in any coal mine camp that I know of in the state of Iowa. These guys could buy their own piece of ground and build their own home if they wanted to. They didn't have to live in a company house. And so, after the mines played out, a lot of the miners stayed right there and lived there because they owned their homes.
Yeah. So they didn't move on.
Didn't move on. No, and a lot of the people retired after that Pershing thing. You know, Pershing had this number 12 mine was their first mine, and then they had a mine somewhere in between 12 and 14. Number 14 was down there just off of T-17. Right across the road from the landfill. Somewhere in between there was a... those two mines were shaft mines, number 12 and 14. Somewhere in between there was a number 13 that was a slope mine. I just can't get any information about that mine. But I do have a picture of the opening, but I don't know exactly where it was, and all the people I interviewed didn't know where it was either.
More in depth after this. Doug Wilson and I continued our conversation about coal mining in Marion County. And we have a few mines over by Harvey as well.
That's right. Several mines. Some pretty nice producers, you know, like this Robison Coal Company. It was a nice mine, and this Ellis Coal Mine was a pretty good mine, as well as Melcher Coal Company had two or three little mines pretty much together, right along T-17. In fact, this Ellis Coal Company on Oklahoma Drive off of T-17, the dirt pile's still there. The dirt pile where the shaft was is still there, And in fact, there's a little brick building that's still there right along the road that looks like to me that it held the steam engine. And it's still sitting right there.
What does a steam engine do in a coal mine camp?
Well, the steam engine is your power. And in the old days, steam was a great power. You know, the steam engine is the same thing that pulled all of the locomotives all around the country on the railroad. And so the steam engine was the best way that they could get the most power in the old days. And that was your power that ran your coal mine. That's what ran your so-called elevators up and down that lifted the men, that put the men into the mine and lifted them out, and also brought the coal up. The loaded cars of coal up and the empty cars down.
Any noteworthy mines around Knoxville that you'd like to mention?
One of the mines that I always like to mention, and this mine wasn't all that far from Pershing. It was north and west of Pershing. It was on 165th Avenue, right where the if you go on 165th today, south of Old Highway 92, you'll come to the pipeline pumping station. And right there where the pipeline pumping station is where the coal camp called Andersonville was. And that was a coal camp of somewhere over 40 houses. And just to the west of that, across 165th to the west, I would say about 300 yards is where the Anderson coal mine was. And that was a very large producer. This was a great piece of coal in here. And That mine lasted for, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 years, and it was producing coal. It began producing coal around 1913, and you can see by my map here, Bob, that there was a railroad that was laid down. It come off that main CB&Q there just east of Flagler, and it came south, and then it curled up here and went up to Andersonville. And along that railroad, after that Andersonville mine had opened, there was another mine that opened called McKay Coal Company. And that was the mine that brought my grandfather to Marion County from Monroe County, where he was digging coal down there. And anyway, he came up to work in that McKay mine. And that mine was a good mine. The mines in around Flagler was the big producer here was Union Coal Company in Flagler. They had a heck of a mine there. Their number 5 mine was considered for years to be one of the great mines in the state of Iowa. And later that mine was just to the east of Flagler down over the hill. And later they sold that mine to White Breast Fuel Company. There was another nice mine down on the north side of Flagler, down by the tracks, and the mine went under the hill under the city of Flagler to the south, and that was called the Oak Hill Mine. That was a good mine, and they also furnished coal to the railroad. And then there was 3 mines that was right along the railroad, kind of between 3M and Flagler, and they were called the English Creek Coal Company. One of those had a coal camp called Hawkeye, and there was, like I said, there was 3 of those mines, and those were in the, just prior to 1920, and so those were really good mines. Knoxville, as far as Knoxville is concerned, Knoxville never had any really great mines within the city, but there was a lot of good mines that produced coal, and some of those mines furnished coal to the railroad to run their steam engines. And they also sold coal to the businesses in Knoxville and to the homeowners to heat their homes with. You know, there's a lot of people, Bob, that can't remember burning coal to stay warm in the wintertime in a stove in the house. And
I'd say most people.
Yeah. And so the coal was a major energy. In fact, now this is a Dougism, Bob. I say that the Industrial Revolution... And you know what that was? That's what really put the United States up on its legs and got it going. The Industrial Revolution couldn't have happened had it not been for coal. Coal powered everything that had to do with the Industrial Revolution. Yep.
Thanks to Doug Wilson for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.